Welcome back to the Victory Podcast. It's a special edition because it's actually Jess LaFleur's first time to be on the podcast. How's it feel, Jess?
Feels good. I'm very excited to be here.
So back in June, we announced that we had a new staff member, and his name is Jess. We also announced some other changes going on, like Pastor Bobby will be leaving to go to college. I think he's been in college for like 15 years.
A long time, long as I've known him.
Bobby has actually said that if he could be a professional student, he would, because the dude likes to learn, which,
that's right.
I'm all about it. So with that change coming on, we brought you on. And so what we want to do is get you to know Jess, because a lot of people who watch the podcast or come to church, they know Jess as little Jess LaFleur.
Yeah.
Because if you don't know Jess, his dad is Pastor Jody, our lead pastor, and his grandfather is Pastor Larry, who founded the church.
Right.
So did you know that you were going to be on staff one day?
No, actually, a few years ago, I was kind of just really wanting to make a splash in the business world, and I really wasn't thinking of serving at the church full time. I've always loved the church, and I thought maybe one day I could be in ministry, but right. I really was pursuing a business career.
Gotcha. Yeah. And so with him coming on, he's actually the title. Do you want to tell him your title?
So I am the Connections Pastor.
As he calls himself, the CP.
CP. CPJL.
The CPJL in the S-Town.
That's
so,
right.
So that's what Jess does. So explain like exactly what your job is as the Connections Pastor.
So as the Connections Pastor, basically every new person that comes in, every new guest, we call them, or our new members, we actually call them new owners, because we really don't want to just be a member. We want everyone to be with us, serving with us, a part of the body. And So anyways, my job is to get people plugged into that. My job is to be a resource to those who are wanting to get plugged into the church body at Victory. And it really is such an honor, because I do have a heart for seeing people grow and forgiving myself to grow others.
Right.
And another thing is we have an incredible volunteer team at Victory. And so my job is to be service to them, make sure they have everything they need to succeed. So
basically, if you're a new guest, text Victory Guest to 97,000. All the protocols and processes and emails that you get are all from Jess.
Yep.
And then once you go through our Catch the Vision and he gets you plugged in, and when you're ready to volunteer, he'll get you on a team, help you find your perfect spot to serve on the team.
Yeah.
Because that's what we're all about, is our job as pastors at Victory. And I know people, I think our congregation is kind of sick of hearing us say these two things, which is our assignment is very clear at Victory, which is
to make disciples.
To make disciples. Every believer a disciple.
Right.
The second thing that we say a lot is because it's a paradigm shift to modern church, which is our job as pastors is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry according to Ephesians 4.
Right.
And for so long, pastors were hired, youth pastors were hired, children's church pastors were hired to do the ministry. And when we got a revelation on what Ephesians 4 really means, is to equip you, the body, to do the work of the ministry, to live on mission, to go to your job, to go, if you're a teacher, if you're a plant worker, wherever you go, if you're a waitress,
yeah,
if you're in the food industry, to take the gospel that we're helping, equipping you with, and giving you the tools so you can go out and live on mission and do exactly what Acts 1:8 says, which is to be his witness.
Right, because it really is bigger than a Sunday morning sermon.
Right.
I mean, we have a pretty big staff here, but my dad, Jody LaFleur, he's the lead pastor, and he preaches the sermon on Sunday morning. A lot of people think that's all there is to ministry, just the Sunday morning sermon. But we're actually here to grow and equip our people who come to church, and it's bigger than that Sunday morning. And we really are here to equip the saints, which is y'all and us, you know.
Now, do we do a perfect A-plus job doing that? No. Not yet.
We're getting better.
Not yet. But we have some plans in the making, which I'm not good at keeping secrets.
Oh, man.
I'm not. Are you good at keeping secrets?
I can. Yeah.
See, I can. It's like Christmas morning. So there is a lot of things on the horizon that we're going to be doing to better suit to equip you guys.
Yeah.
To do the work of the ministry. And it seems, I guess the reason why the paradigm shift is so hard for me as a pastor is it kind of feels self-serving. Like, because in the past, like, we always talk about your great-grandfather,
right.
Pastor Larry's dad, who his job as a pastor was basically hospital visits, in-home visits.
Yeah.
All, you know, it was really like taking care of the sheep and right. preaching 52 sermons a week. Well, actually more than that, because you had Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night.
Hmm.
Can you imagine doing that?
Golly,
what
no.
is that, 156 sermons a year
Gosh.
That you would preach? And now it's we really, with that revelation, got a shift on what our job is, which is to equip. And
yeah.
sometimes the Sunday morning message isn't the best thing to do to equip.
Right.
There's other things that we can do.
Yeah, because, I mean, even Jesus says, like, I take this day my daily bread. And,
right.
I mean, if you ate once a week on Sunday morning, just listening to one sermon a week, you'd be pretty thin and you'd probably die. So our job is to give y'all everything, or to give the body of Christ everything they need to learn how to feed themselves, to grow, and to really live a life of maturity in Christianity.
Right, absolutely. And so, like I said, we got some things on the horizon that we're going to be doing. But
Very
bringing
exciting.
Jess in was a huge move for us, because we have our paradigm of even church staff was in a box or in a rut, mm-hmm. let me say it like that. And so I'm just being very vulnerable and honest. And so even, I don't know if you knew this, so about 3.5 years ago, I was sitting in my office and I was talking to your dad, and I kind of drew up, along with Pastor Rick, your uncle, and mm-hmm. Some other people who we were close to, we kind of drew up what the perfect church staff would be. And we had on paper connections pastor.
Hmm.
And by that time, no one had a connections pastor.
Right.
Like, there was some connections director, and like, really, what does a connections pastor do? And so whenever your name came up and we're praying about hiring you, and we cast lots, drew some straws.
This is the first time I'm hearing all this.
And we're like, okay, connections pastor. And so I was able to take that folder for 3 years ago.
Wow.
That I was ready to act on 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And I had to be told, no, not yet, not yet, which is not good for me, by the way, to hear that. And because I'm a let's go now. And it was so cool to be able to take that folder, and the job description was already in there. And it was like, if we would have launched it 3 years ago, it wouldn't have worked.
Right.
And so you coming on the perfect time, the perfect hire, like, just it's like, right, my cell phone's ringing. Is that sorry. Unprofessional? I'm so sorry. he actually, smart. Hey, Kyle, you're calling me right now. You listen to the podcast. So, hey. But anyway, I just thought it was so cool you coming on, and what your job actually is to connect people to the work of the church. And
yeah.
So anyway, I'm really excited about it.
Yeah.
So how's your first, because we're recording this in on July 29th, mm-hmm. how's your first 2 months been?
My first 2 months, wow, it has gone by very fast. So Brady, this is honestly what it's been like. I'm the connections pastor, so yes, I've been working on procedures and processes so that y'all have the easiest transition into victory as possible. And we want y'all to feel at home
right.
when you're here. We want y'all to feel like you know us, and we want to know you. And so I've been doing that, but mainly with the volunteer teams, I've been just loving on them and
yeah.
and try not to just like, you know, create big teams, whatever. I just, my job as a connections pastor is in charge of the volunteer stuff. But as of right now, I'm just getting to know all my volunteer teams and loving on them. And it's been really fun. So yeah, that's been probably the most special thing to me, is getting to know my volunteers as well as create all the processes and procedures and stuff.
Right. Because we're not a really big process church. We're working on getting better, because processes keep you out of the ditch.
Right.
But we're always going to be a relational staff.
Yeah.
We're always going to be a family church. That's who we are. And processes and programs will never take the place of personal relationships.
Absolutely.
And so you have been getting to know volunteers and kind of restructuring some teams too, which you're going to be hearing about pretty soon.
Yeah.
Even some new team leaders and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And so, again, I think it's great to have you on. But also a big life change that happened for Jess is he recently got married a couple weeks ago.
Jade,
that's right.
Jade Morgan LaFleur.
He is taken.
That's right.
So, ladies, hands off. He is taken. So what's marriage been like for 2 weeks now?
Wow. You keep saying all these, like, 2 weeks, 2 months, and I'm like, has it been that long already? It feels like we just
Well, this
got
Thursday
married.
Would be 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Do I know your anniversary and you don't?
No, I know it. But, no, it's been incredible, man. Like, wow. People talk about the first year. We don't have a year under our belt yet. Right. But waking up every morning and, like, we have so much fun, you know, just, like, waking up with my best friend and she made pancakes this morning. Just little stuff like that. I'm like, I just love being with her. And now we don't have to say goodbye. If you're young and not married yet, this is the best part. You hang out with your girlfriend or fiance or whatever.
Right.
The best part is not having to say goodbye and then drive away. You know, you just go to sleep together, wake up together, cook together, like all that. So it's been a blast, man. Obviously there's other fun perks, but it has been incredible.
Can you expound on that? Just sure.
Sure, we could do a
yes, we'll do one of those podcasts later, you know, after a couple years.
Yeah, that's right. But it really has been incredible, and I'm so thankful for her and for marriage, the gift of marriage. Wow. It's awesome.
So if you don't know Jade, you need to get to know Jade.
Oh,
Jade
yeah.
is a special gift to the body at Victory.
Oh,
and so you're going to be hearing more from her pretty soon. And I will say this. I am so excited, not just about you and Felix and Dakota, but what our wives bring to the table too. Because I know it seems like, the men dominate the staff, but there is a powerful group of women that are with us and standing beside us and praying with us, with Jade, with Kayla, with Lyric, with Mackenzie, with your mom.
Yeah.
Pastor Lori, who's here, and even like Miss Jenna and Carrie, Bobby's wife. So there is a powerful group of women that are right there with us, not behind us.
Yeah, no.
But right there with us.
That's right. I mean, just look at the fruit on Sunday morning. Like my wife, she leads worship, and every time she does, I'm like, oh my gosh, that woman is a powerhouse. And even Kayla, me and Kayla led last week, and I was like, I remember looking over, singing with her, and I was like, I look at her, and she's getting fired up, and I'm getting fired up, and then like, no. And then my mom just shares an incredible word, and Mackenzie's heart, oh my gosh, the way she raises those kids, and she is such a blessing to our staff and to the body, and I definitely love the people with us and
our
wives, and
absolutely.
Super thankful for them.
So this podcast isn't really one that, like, we're going diving into the word, but it's more to get to know Jess. I'm going to do this with the rest of the staff too, because not only do you have a new position here, but so does Pastor Felix.
Right.
Yeah. So does Dakota. So do I do too.
Yeah.
Like, and which has been probably the weirdest transition for me with all this new stuff is I'm now the old guy on staff, which is weird because I've been on staff since I was 19 years old, and now I'm about to be 38. And I'm going, oh my gosh, like, I am now the old guy.
Yeah, you are.
And you are the young pups. And so, anyway, it's a weird transition. I'm trying to dress a little cooler. Like, I got white tennis shoes on now. I'm trying to dress cool for these guys. But I will ask you this. So you went to Bible college at BSSM at Bethel in Redding, California. I just slipped on my – you saw that?
Yeah.
So you went to Bible college. What is the one thing – I know it's going to be hard. To nail down one, but for sake of time, what is the one thing in that time period that you were over there, other than finding Jade, which is a cool story that we'll talk about a whole another time,
which was worth it.
What is the one spiritual thing that you learned about maybe feeding yourself or who you are in Christ, or what is the one thing that you took away? And I know it's gonna be hard to label one.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, what comes to my mind is I really just learned the love of God, and I know we talk a lot about what that even means, because, I mean, look in the Bible, it's deep, but just reading Scripture and just the simple gospel that He died for me, He loves me, He gave me this entire word so that I could align myself, my life, with His purposes, and I think, let's see, the biggest takeaway I got was how simple it is. I mean, man, at the end of 2 years, that's how long I was over there, 2 years, I came back thinking, like, yes, the Bible is so deep, it's so rich, but it's a lot simpler than I thought. And yes, the details, God is limitless. I don't even try, but I do try every day, but to understand God, but But it really is so simple. And the daily walk is what matters. The daily walking it out, the daily pursuing, the daily pursuing of His word, and trying, using His grace, the gift He gave us, to align my life with what the word says. And
that's good.
Honestly, the biggest takeaway was it's so simple.
Yeah.
And that's what we want. That's what I want my life to give to other people. Like, hey, Jesus loves you. God loves you so much. And this, the word, it's truly a gift, and it's a daily walk.
Mm-hmm.
I try not to think like rapture, you know, right off the bat. It's like, this is a daily walk. And I don't know if that really makes any sense, but
you're preaching my message.
Yeah. My biggest takeaway was it's so simple, and you take it day by day. And you obviously, you read the Old Testament, but you read what Jesus did, and who He was, and what His life reflected, and you use the grace of God to strive to align yourself to that.
And that's when I said you're preaching my message, I am preaching this Sunday. And my point number one is live simple. Sweet. That's a daily reminder that I have of myself. And I always like to give resources out. Did you know this about me? Every time I speak, I like to give like a resource because I just can't be the resource. There's other resources. And I'm a major researcher, Googler, like always searching for like the next thing.
Oh yeah.
And so here's a resource for you if you never read it, is Bob Goff's book, Love Does.
Oh yes.
So I got to meet, I think I maybe said this on a podcast once, I got to hang out, I'm not even saying meet, I got to hang out with Bob Goff in New Mexico. Jealous. And my buddy, they were doing a conference over there, and he said, hey, can you drive Bob back to his hotel? And I'm thinking, sure, absolutely. So Kayla jumps in the back seat, Bob Goff jumps in the front seat, and it was probably a 10-15 minute ride to the hotel. Well, we get to the hotel and he just won't get out of my car. Like, he just talks like probably for 30 minutes. Wow. And I have never been more blessed to be around a man in my life. Mm. And it almost brings me to tears to talk about how simple this guy lives. And if you don't know the story of Bob Goff, you got to read it. He's actually from California, but he's the Uganda ambassador from Uganda to the United States. It's crazy how he did it, all by rescuing children.
Wow.
In Uganda. So Uganda made him the consulate general. Mm. So it's a crazy story, but his whole point is the gospel and living the Bible is simple. It's not easy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's simple.
No, for sure.
And he said, feed the hungry. So what he does in San Diego, he'll drive and he'll go get In-N-Out burgers. And he'll just drive and he'll see hungry people and he just gives them a burger.
Yeah.
And he talks about, isn't that simple?
It really
feed
is.
The hungry. Mm-hmm. And he said, we get so caught up in like theology and this and that and the other, which we need to have good theology. Absolutely. I'm not saying we don't, but so many times we overanalysis leads to paralysis.
Mm-hmm.
We can overanalyze so much and we just go, we don't know what to do.
Yeah.
If you just take what, I feel like I'm a disciple of Smith Wigglesworth,
mm-hmm.
and I read most of Smith Wigglesworth's journals, and he never wrote a book. His children actually put his notes together for a book. He didn't believe in reading anything except Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts.
Yeah.
And so whenever I read that in Smith Wigglesworth's book, I was like, I'm going to do that. So all I did for like 6 months was read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. Matthew, Mark, and just repeat, repeat, repeat. And what I learned is the importance of what Jesus said.
Mm.
Like right now I'm reading Luke 6, and I've been in Luke 6 for a week now. Because like one of those things is, give to those who can't repay you.
Yeah.
How anti-American is that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, normally we're like, hey, I'm going to give you $100. When can you pay me back? And it says, don't just give to people who can pay you back. Give without even asking for it in return.
Yeah.
Pray for your enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh my gosh. Again, it's simple. It's not easy. It's simple.
Yeah. And it's funny because the way you know you're on the right track is by fruit. Like, it really is that simple. You don't look too inward all the time, but every now and then you self-assess or listen to the people closest around you who you trust, and you assess your fruit.
That's right.
And it's like, do I have love, peace, joy, happiness, patience? And it's like all that, am I giving? It really is simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. And the fruit shows that.
See, the fruit again, this may be a whole nother podcast. We'll go into it. It's all right. Normally, our podcasts are 30 minutes. We got 10 minutes, but we can go longer. Whenever sometimes, and this is going to get deep into my soul here, whenever I look at the fruit of Jesus or the fruit of the Spirit, I get really convicted.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, again, my friends, you may be watching this, and you know me. I don't know if I've ever been called gentle. I've been called like a bull in a china cabinet. Like, I'm not a gentle soul. I'm really not loving in a way. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. And so I really, back, this was probably like 4 months ago when I was really looking at the life of Jesus. And if my job as a Christian is to be Christ-like and to, and now again, I'm not discounting the progress or the process of sanctification, being made holy. I'm not discounting that. But whenever I look at my life and compare it to Jesus, I am nowhere close to that.
Right.
And thank God for the grace of Jesus and dying on the cross, because that's, I need that. But at the same time, it's like when I look at the fruit, I'm like, Lord, I want to be gentle.
For sure, yeah.
I want to be kind.
Yeah.
I don't want people to go, oh man, Brady, don't cross him. Like, I don't want to be that guy. Yeah. I don't want to be confrontational. I want to be loving. I want to be kind.
For
and
sure.
The only way I can do that is, I learned this lesson a long time ago. I can't try to be more kind.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to work, because then I'm trying with my flesh, you know what I'm saying? And then it's not out of the fruit. The only way I can do it is to spend more time with the man who is kind, which is Jesus,
right?
Which is the Spirit, and be led that way.
Yeah, yeah. And that's funny that you say that, because, I mean, it even talks about it in the Word. Jesus is the perfect definition of God's nature that we could even kind of get.
Right.
I'm not saying I understand Jesus, but I'm saying, like, Jesus is the perfect definition of what we could possibly grasp. And so his actions are fruit. So we have the fruits of the Spirit, but also Jesus's life is fruit. So when our lives look like Jesus, that's fruit, because it's like the nature of God, who God created us to be, just his sons, his daughters. And so, so
he's getting fired up. He just popped his fingers.
I just got fired up. Like, let's see, people rant about theology or tear other people down. They tear them down. And hey, stand for what you believe in. I'm all for that. But are you bearing fruit? And there,
that's right.
I love justice. I love theology. I love standing for God's plans, purposes, word.
Right.
But how are you portraying it? How is it being given? Is it fruitful? Is it coming out of a right heart posture? And so I'm just going to leave that. But
we're Christians. This is a mic drop statement. So good. Christians are more known for what we're against than what we're for.
Yeah.
And that's a problem.
Yeah.
Again, this is not a rant to say, you know, don't call out false teachers or anything. But if we're searching for false doctrine or false teachers just to call them out, maybe we're on the wrong path.
Yeah.
Because I can't think of one time where Jesus went to one. Again, I'm trying to be careful with that, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Can you recall one time where Jesus went to one and called him out? I know what he did with the Pharisees when they approached him.
Absolutely.
When he called them spawns of Satan.
Or that's pit of vipers.
Yeah, like brood of vipers.
Brood of vipers.
Like, basically, never mind.
Whitewashed tombs.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah, he said that to the religious people.
Right.
Which is crazy. And that's the thing, is we're not called to be religious. We're called to be sons of God.
Disciples.
Yeah. Disciples. And disciples who make disciples.
That's right.
And so anyway, yes. So be careful in that. I want to be known for what I'm for, not what I'm against.
Right. And even last little point on that. I mean, you were like, do you remember Jesus ever going to someone? What I remember is him saying, he without sin cast the first stone. And I'm like, oh, my life doesn't look exactly like the Bible yet. Grace doesn't just empower us to get away from sin. It empowers us to really strive to align ourselves with the Word of God. So so sin, like, do away with that. We have grace for that. But also grace gives us the opportunity to pursue God every day and align ourselves with his plan. So that's why I hesitate to start chunking rocks, because I'm like, I don't know if I line up perfectly with what you have taught me yet. So
Yeah, and another resource book recommendation that talks more about that, I've shared it almost every podcast that we've done about a subject like this, is A Tale of Three Kings. A Tale of Three Kings is Ben Stewart. If you watch this, he actually has a podcast as well. Ben Stewart was a youth pastor at Abundant Life in Lake Charles, where Christian World is now. And I was really battling with my thoughts and leadership and that, and he said, you got to read this book. So he actually gave me this book, A Tale of Three Kings, and it's the story of Saul, David, and Absalom. And it's written biblically but paraphrased as well, so it's like written as a story. And there's a key word in there, a key phrase that David said whenever, I think Joab went up to David and says, hey, Absalom's trying to take the kingdom from you, and what are you going to do about it? And David said, I didn't come to this kingdom by my own power, but by God, so I'm not going to keep it by my own power. And then he goes on to say, I don't even know what's in my heart, so how can I judge somebody else's motives?
Come on.
And it was like, oh, so convicting. Because immediately you say something, and I judge your motives.
Yeah, because David was anointed king. He had every right. He was the best worshiper. I mean, God was like, I like him the best. He's after my own heart.
Right.
David had every reason to like be entitled and take what he deserved, but
he didn't want to. He just said, God gave it to me, God take it away.
That's right.
Which that's a whole theology debate, but we won't get into. But I love that as going, I can't even trust my own motives.
Right.
I mean, the hearts of men are evil.
Right.
And so I can't trust my own motives, much less your motives.
Right.
Because immediately I start attacking you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you say something, so I said this in a staff meeting, I think, whenever I said, I used to pray to be able to have perspective of other people.
Yeah.
And I really do think I do a pretty decent job of trying to put myself in your shoes. Going, and your dad taught me that, again, not to give your dad all the credit, but your dad did teach me this principle about the front porch.
Yeah.
So you live in Estes Park, Colorado. And you step out on your front porch and you face west.
Right.
What do you see?
Is that the Rockies?
You see the mountains. That's you see a Rocky Mountain National Park. Let's say you're in Jacksonville, Florida, and you face east. What do you see?
Cornfields.
No, Jacksonville.
Oh.
Florida.
Oh, Florida. I was thinking of Colorado.
No, Jacksonville, Florida. You see the ocean.
Beach, yeah.
You see the beach. You see the ocean. And so who's right? If I call and say, hey, what do you see right now? Well, I see the Rockies. Oh, no, you're wrong. I see the ocean. Like, everybody sees something different from their front porch.
Yeah.
And it's not saying all truth is relative. That's not what I'm saying.
Not at all.
But it's a perspective.
Right.
And so if I grew up in a household where my dad beat me, so I come to God and he says, I'm your father, and the only thing I know about my father is he beat me, which my dad didn't, but love you, Dad. He didn't do that at all. I never got a spanking as a kid. That's a whole nother story, by the way, that we can preach on parenting. When you have kids, we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
But so if I came with that perspective, then you would understand why I would struggle with knowing God as a loving father.
Yeah.
Because our earthly perspective kind of dictates what we view.
Right. And I love what you said too. There is absolute truth. Let's not get this.
Don't get it twisted.
The Bible is absolute truth. Every word is right. It's truth. And there is tension in the Bible where the Bible says two different things, but you have to know the author to understand when the context is going to be current to your situation. And so there is absolute truth. The Bible is absolute truth. And I stand for what I believe in, what the word says, and I'll throw everything else aside if the word says something. And so, I love that. But there is a daily walk, and that's why we have church. That's why we have community, because all of us, if I'm a finger and Brady's an arm, we work together to do something. And
I'm a bicep.
Yeah.
Let's not compare.
Anyways. No, but that's the beauty of, wow, we're making a full circle here because I'm the connections pastor. But that's the beauty of joining in with the body of Christ because we all, God has given us different gifts, different perspectives, different front porches. And yes, the word is absolute truth, but it is a daily walk to get your life aligned with what it says. And we get to encourage each other. Like Brady has, Okay, so Brady, when we're in staff meeting, Brady, whenever an idea is put up, which he's great with ideas, but whenever an idea is put up, he's inspecting it. He's walking around it, and we call it poking holes. He's inspecting every idea to see if it holds water, if it's good, if it means. And I personally love that. And so
it can be annoying at times, just to be honest.
But I personally love it because I don't really care about the idea. We're just trying to get stuff done. Right. So anyways, I love that I can bring an idea to Brady and he's like, no, that's not going to work because this or whatever. But anyways, God has given us brothers and sisters to walk with, to get your blind spot, you know. And so I hesitate to throw rocks, but I cling to people I trust, right, and I know, and who bear fruit. And I go to them when I have a blind spot or whatever. So
see, this is important because this to me is why community is so important.
Absolutely.
So I coach baseball along with Trey. We have a baseball team together that we both coach. And we always talk about we have people who are leaving really good teams to come play for us. And the reason why is because of our coaching style. Right. Like, we put the kids first. Like, we love the kids. Like, we really embrace the kids. We love, we encourage. And it's attractive because most tournament baseball coaches, like, I saw one there today where a baseball coach, a kid slid in the second, got out, and he's running back to the dugout, and the coach is like, you are the worst baseball player I've ever seen in my life. And the kid's crying. It's like, there's no crying in baseball. But the kid's crying. And even Trey was telling me there's coaches who don't even go to practice. They show up at the games, wow, and they just chew on the kids. Mm-hmm. And they never put in those deposits, which this is a leadership lesson. You got to put in with deposits to make those withdrawals. And right, so I've been knowing you your entire life.
Yeah.
I mean, we used to have small group at your house when you were a little kid.
Yeah.
And so I feel like as a person, you've been around me enough to know my heart. Absolutely. So whenever you come to me and I poke holes, you're not taking it personal,
no,
because we have a relationship.
Yeah.
But if we don't have a relationship and then I try to poke holes, yeah, then what's going to happen? Then the defense mechanisms come
right
up. But I think time, heart, and just, I mean, tenure, because again, people know that I've been here for so long that I have victory's best interest in mind. So
right,
it's not my, I'm looking for the best idea.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care whose idea it is, because this is a little inside joke with all of us on staff, but a lot of the ideas that we come up with, your dad will steal them and make them his own. Like, I'm okay with, and all of us are okay with that, because isn't that the secret of leadership? That's the secret of community. Is it's not Nakota's idea. It's not Jess's idea.
It doesn't
it's
matter.
It's our idea, and our lead pastor preaches it as his own, and
right,
we're cheerleading him like, yes,
that's
amen,
right,
keep going. That does not offend us because we're a team.
Yeah.
We're a hand working together.
Yeah.
But it took years of building those relationships to do that. That's probably why throwing rocks is so dangerous.
Yeah.
Oh, because you
yeah
don't know them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know Kenneth Copeland personally.
Right.
And again, we can talk about theology and all that, but I don't know the man's heart.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know what his motive was. I don't know when Joel Osteen had his whole thing on Oprah, when Oprah asked, is Jesus the only way? And he kind of danced around it, and the Christian community came off on him. And I'm mm-hmm going, I'd never wore that suit before.
Right.
I am not a national voice to where I'm friends with somebody who has a national voice.
Yeah.
And they sat in this chair and we did a podcast together. And she, before the podcast, she was talking about, I'm so scared to say this because these people,
right,
and like, I don't know the weight that it
no
carries.
No, it's real. Yeah.
And so I'm not going to throw rocks, but what I will do is I will pray for you.
That's right.
Yeah. I will pray that your eyes are open to truth, not to my truth, but mm-hmm to the truth.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, that's why I hesitate to do anything on social media as
right
far as like bashing stuff. I love this right here, because whether or not this is being recorded, I'm talking to people, and I love putting in deposits because you're gonna hear my heart. You're not gonna hear my heart if I'm just
yeah absolutely
whatever. And so that's kind of my take on that. And I love questions. If you guys ever want to know anything, please ask me. I love it. And
right,
I love meeting with people, and honestly, the iron sharpening iron, you know,
right,
and
absolutely
I love it. And so that's why I hesitate when it comes to social media, politics. I love this stuff.
Right.
Because you hear my heart. I get to know you. And even everything that's going on with the world as far as like BLM and just politics and everything, they're saying like let's just sit down and talk. Like,
right.
And I think we as the body of Christ need to take on that method. Let's sit down and talk and really hear our hearts and really spur one another on to good works.
Right. Which is why I had a problem when text message first came out, because text message, you can't hear the tone of somebody's voice.
Yeah.
Like every time someone texts me something, I'm like, oh my God, they're being so mean to me. And then you talk to them and they're like, hey. Yeah. And it's like, oh man, that's why I don't like text message.
Yeah.
That's why I don't like, I have social media, but I don't really post that often.
Yeah.
Like I didn't even, my anniversary was July 21st. I didn't even post anything about my wife. She did. So I just don't post.
That's the only thing I post is about Jade.
Oh, we know puppy love.
Yeah. Like, oh my God, she's eating.
Oh, young love. No, I love my wife. She's my best friend. But I just don't post that often on Facebook. Yeah. And it's not because I'm scared to be controversial.
Yeah.
I don't want to be controversial because I have a bigger message than my own opinion. And the message is Christ. And so if I offend you, number one, if I offend you, what did Jesus say to do? I'm supposed to go to you. And that's something that we don't even talk about anymore, that we don't preach. Maybe I should change my message Sunday to preach about offense. But there's another thing, too, that I live by. This may be one of my points is I choose not to be offended.
Wow.
Like, you cannot offend me. Like, I try. Choose not to be offended because I can never learn and I can never grow with the spirit of offense.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a person, always when people tell me something harsh, I have two things. I can pour some gasoline on it and make it burn, and then I get offended, or I can pour water on it and go, I don't know your heart.
This is getting juicy.
And so I choose not to be offended.
Yeah, because, I mean, literally, as the body of Christ, you're supposed to work together, but offense, literally offense,
builds offense.
Division. It builds division. And what is division? It's honestly a cancer. Cancer in a body. And so if we're talking about the body of Christ, division is a cancer to the body. And yes, please stand for what you believe in. Stand for your convictions and revelation. But we can't be like tearing on each other. I mean, anyways. So.
Because as a pastor, there's a book that I recommend if you're in ministry of any sorts. It's called Leadership Pain by Sam Chan. And he talks about as a pastor, it's so hard. And we've been experiencing it with mask, no mask, coronavirus, shut down, don't shut down, 50 people, less than, like we've been experiencing it all. Even the stuff that happened Monday in staff meeting, like there's so many reasons to be offended right now.
Absolutely.
There's so many. And people, whenever they don't know your heart or you think they should because they've been here for 10 years and then they accuse you of this, that hurts. That's the leadership pain that people don't understand is we – as a pastor, we are there for your baptism, for your salvation, for your baptism of the Holy Spirit, for you getting married, for you having kids. Like, we are there. We're praying. If you're a parent and your children are lost, we're praying with you. We're standing with you. And we say one thing that you disagree with, we get attacked.
Yeah.
And that's hard.
Yeah.
Like that, I know this is more in a leadership podcast, but that's a...
Yeah.
So it's easy for us to take on a spirit of offense.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, from a leadership, this is a leadership podcast. So as a leadership standpoint, a way to honor leaders is really to give them grace because, I mean, not everything, when you're not a leader, not everything you say is heard. And so give grace to those who are daily walking out a life to align their lives to what the word says. And so anyways, yes, like I just said, like Gen Z. I'm actually a Gen Z. So
are you really?
Yeah, I think so. The cutoff is like 96 or 95.
Gen Z over
anyways.
Here.
But yeah, so I kind of lost my train of thought. But leaders, yes, help them, come alongside them, and please bring to their attention when they do have a blind spot. We're not saying like just blindly follow people.
Yeah.
Bring to attention your right. convictions. Y'all, we're all brothers and sisters.
That's right. We are.
Okay. One more thing. Humility is seeing God as God and seeing each other as equal. That's right. Humility. We are just sons and daughters. Mm. That's humility. We're all under God. Yeah. And so bring to attention blind spots, anything that doesn't line up with the Word of God. We need that. We all need that together. But give a little bit of grace to people whose voices are constantly heard on a bigger scale.
Yeah.
Because we're all trying to walk this out daily. I mean, just try to monitor a few days and of our lives. If we could all monitor a few days of our lives and see like, okay, I didn't really gracefully respond to that person cutting me off in traffic or right. or whatever. So just asking for a little bit of grace for just leaders in general. And so,
yeah. And that's the thing with our staff here at church is we're all approachable.
Yeah.
All of us are. We all love lunch meetings. Hint, hint. We really do love meeting with people and talking about not controversy or anything like that. But if you have a question about something that we said
please.
Or heart about something, please don't post on social media. Just come and talk to
absolutely.
Us. And I promise once we explain what's going on and where our heart was in that moment, I promise you all defense mechanism goes down. Right. And then we take the same vow with you guys
absolutely.
As our congregation is
absolutely.
Saying, we're not going to judge you for what you post or
for
what
sure.
you say. Because again, we are a body
yeah.
and we need each other. And the thing that the enemy was used more than anything, to me, the biggest weapon that the enemy has is division.
Mm-hmm.
It's civil war. Like I know this is history, but during the Civil War, if another nation would have attacked the United States during that time, what would happen?
They would have been in really big trouble.
We would have been in really big trouble because we were divided.
Right.
And so if let's say Britain and another Italy or France would have went with the Confederate.
Yeah.
There would be no more. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because when we're divided, we're not accomplishing the true mission of what Jesus said.
Right.
And so we got to be unified. We got to be party. And again, like man, my phone is like going off this morning, but not blindly, but just let's fellowship with one another.
Absolutely. And we are gifts to each other.
That's
so
right.
Please bring your revelation, your conviction to us, to each other, and
that's
and
right.
spur one another on to good works. And so, how much time do we have?
We're honestly done.
Sweet. So as Connection Pastor, my job is to make sure everybody's plugged in to the body. And so I love each and every one of you, and I can't wait to see where Victory is headed. And I love to see new faces every week. It's been really cool.
Yeah.
So
if you know me at all, I don't really prepare whenever I speak.
Yeah.
I don't really have notes for when I preach on stage. I don't have notes on a podcast, you can see. So, Jess, good job.
Thanks, man.
Good job. He's like, what are we talking about? I don't
yeah.
know. We're just going to talk and see where it goes.
Yeah, we started off with the connections role and then got a little into, some deep water. But
it was
really good.
It's good.
Yeah.
All right, so that's going to be it for this episode of the Victory Podcast. Be sure to share, like this, share it with other people, especially other church people in our church as well, and even other pastors and anything that we can do to be a blessing to you, our body, or even the body of Christ in general, the universal body,
mm-hmm.
We would be glad to. And so can't wait to see you next time. Hope you enjoyed it.
Thank you.